I don't believe in coincidences, but I believe God has a way of doing things. As I sat there and looking at the kind of songs Bob was bringing out, it was as if he'd seen my message already. God indeed works in mysterious ways. I am speaking on the title, Just Believe. Hallelujah. This message came about as a result of a conversation between Gabby and I. She asked me a question, a very thought-provoking question. Why was Jesus and the disciples able to heal, but we are not able to do that? So my question back to her was, are you sure? She said, yes, but mommy, a lot of people are sick. They are not getting better. They are not being healed. So why are we not able to heal these people? But God and the disciples got healed, were able to heal people. So, we are going to go through my conversation with Gabby. And our anchor scripture this morning is taken from John chapter 14, verse 1 to 14. But our main emphasis for this morning is going to be on the verse verse 12. But then we're going to read John 14, verse 1 to 14. Before we do that, let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning and this opportunity to be in your presence. May you speak to us and clear our doubts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So John 14, verse 1 to 14, and I read, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." Take note of the verse 4. "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus told them in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said in verse 8, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does this his work through me." Verse 11, "Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." We're dwelling so much on the verse 12. That is what I want us all to pay attention to. "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Hallelujah. So John chapter 14 is part of the conversations Jesus had with his disciples before his crucifixion. And I believe this will address some of the questions bothering some of us, if not all of us. The conversation was mainly to alleviate their fears and to give them an assurance of his second coming. As we saw in John 14, verse 1 to 4. But then, the conversation revealed what I call cracks in the lives of the disciples, as well as Christians today, not excluding myself. As we all know, Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30 and was crucified when he turned 33 years. So these disciples got to walk with Jesus for 3 good years. They saw him, they felt him, they ate with him, and were in his company for 3 good years. As we read in verse 4, Jesus wanted to find out if they really knew him, if they have been following his conversations and his connections with the Father. I believe we all remember when Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16, verse 13 to 17, who they thought or who are people say he was. And they answered, some say you are Jeremiah, some said Elijah, and so on. Then he further asked them who they thought he was. I am asking you this morning, who do you say Jesus is? Hallelujah. And Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Meaning he couldn't have known this by himself, but God revealed it to him. You might have thought that the disciples caught the revelation, but they were far from it. Then there comes the statement that reveals the crack. You know the way to the place where I am going in verse 4. But they had no clue. And Thomas confirmed it and even asked to be shown the way. So Jesus used the opportunity to reintroduce himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me, in verse 6 of John chapter 14. You know, Jesus is the most selfless person I have ever known. As after introducing himself as the way, he pointed them to the greater man himself. I am only the way, but you need to know someone greater than I am, and that man is my own Father, and that I am only but a channel through which you can come to the Father. Hallelujah. But then he also said something very confusing in verse 7. To know me is to know my Father. And I believe this was said to see if they still remember John 10:30. I and my Father are one. Jesus has said this in John chapter 10, and we are in John chapter 14. And they were still confused about who he was or who his Father was. The more Jesus spoke, it was as if he was throwing dust in the air. They were lost. Philip still asked Jesus to show them the Father in verse 8. And I believe Jesus sighed. In this instance, I won't be surprised if some of them were thinking he was talking about his carpenter dad, Joseph. We all know Joseph, don't we? Jesus' reply rather made me sad in verse 9 to 11. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Jesus is asking us the same question today. How well do we know Jesus? If we even know him at all, let's all take time to ponder over this. It will be so sad to be in church all your life, or for the greater part of your life, and be told in the end, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I do not know you. In Matthew 7, verse 23. Let's all make sure we are not just here to occupy space, but to seek always to know Jesus for ourselves, even outside of church. Then he went on further to tell them, he's in the Father. Sorry about that. He's in the Father, and the Father is in him. And that the words he speaks are not his, but the Father who speaks through him. Jesus never misses an opportunity to give the glory to the Father. Just as Paul encouraged the Philippians to have the same mindset as Jesus, the same mindset as Christ Jesus is the same way I'm encouraging us all. Jesus humbled himself even till death. And the Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11. I'll read Philippians 2. Verse 9 to 11. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. At the mention of the name Jesus, every knee bows, including sicknesses. No matter what you're going through, that name Jesus, it has power in it to cause a change. And in the verse 11, there comes our main focus, just believe. I came to tell someone today, just believe. Jesus told them, even if you have an iota of doubt, at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. All Jesus was trying to say here is that I understand you are only but human, and I am God-man, because Jesus came in the form of man. But I feel your pain. I know why you're struggling to believe, but at least believe because of the works you've seen me do. Don't be in a hurry to forget. Let's remind ourselves of some of the things they saw Jesus do. The healing of the centurion's servant with just a word in Luke 7, verse 1 to 10. Jairus' daughter and the woman with the issue of blood, who was healed by just touching the hem of his cloak in Mark 5, 21 to 43. If I'm going fast, please let me know if there are people taking notes. Yeah. The other day, his friend Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, was raised back to life in John 11, verse 38 to 44. Have you forgotten? Don't be in a hurry to forget. So at least believe because of the works you've seen me do. When we read John 14, verse 12 to 14, there was an interesting conversation there. John 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Literally meaning, the verse 12 literally means that I won't be here to do all these things I have been doing. However, I am giving you the mandate. I am commissioning you to do even greater than I have done. But first, you've got to believe. Tell someone you've got to believe. You need to have faith in me to be able to do the things I do. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that, one, he exists, and he is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. So you must, one, believe that there is God, because there is God. Come to know him earnestly. Other versions put it diligently, sincerely, and only then, that's number three, he will reward you. And this includes answers to our prayers. Hallelujah. God knows what we need, but he wants us to ask and to believe that he's able to do it. Then after you've had faith in verse 12, he said in 13 to 14, ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask for anything in my name and I will do it. He didn't say the Father would do it, but I will do it. So this confirms that Jesus and God are one. We saw the song about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus and God are one. But then he never hesitates to give glory to the Father. This is the kind of selflessness he's calling us into. To always give glory to the Father. It is not about you, but the Father. To be a Christian, you'll have to die to self and surrender all so God can have his way in us. Jesus said something in John 15, verse 7 to 8. Let's read it together. John 15. Verse 7 and 8. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted, or I will do it. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to the Father. So whatever you do is to the glory of the Father. If you pray for someone to get healed, you are not doing it to bring yourself glory, but to bring glory to God. Hallelujah. So dying to self is very important. Acknowledging Christ as our source, and that without him we can do nothing, as John 15 verse 5 puts it, can guide our faith journey. Faith is a necessity in our walk with God, because even the disciples, due to unbelief, were unable to do some of the things Jesus did at some point. This brings us to Matthew 17, verse 14 to 21. Matthew 17, verse 14. So Matthew 17 verse 14 talks about the transfiguration of Jesus. At this point, Jesus took three of his disciples with him, Peter, James, and John, to a mountain, whilst there were a crowd waiting at the foot of the mountain for them. And the Bible says Jesus was transfigured. That was when Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus, and Peter wanted to build tents for them so they could live there. Something happened while Jesus was away with the three disciples. A man whose son was possessed by demons brought his son to the disciples, the rest of the disciples. The man says, this boy will have seizures and be thrown into the fire and water. But unfortunately, the disciples were unable to heal him. This man brought the boy to Jesus when he returned from the mountain. And upon hearing what had happened, Jesus said, he said this to the disciples in verse 17. You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Other version says, oh, faithless and twisted generation. And then in the verse 18, he rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy, and the boy was healed instantly. I want us to take note of what the disciples did in verse 19 of Matthew 17. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out the demon? Do we stop praying when our prayers are not being answered? Do we lose hope? Do we lose hope and faith in God when we don't get what we asked him for? We have to keep going back to the master, the teacher, and ask him to make things more clearer to us. And it's only through that time of intimacy, that time of prayer, alone with God, that he begins to reveal mysteries to us. Jesus never minced words or sugarcoated his words. And he told them it was because of your little faith. In verse 20, you don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing will be impossible. Hallelujah. He also told them that they didn't need a gigantic faith to do what he did, and all they needed was faith as little as a mustard seed. And they would be able to tell the mountains to move and it will move, and that nothing will be impossible for them. I believe we all know a mustard seed and how tiny it is. So if Jesus said they need faith as little as a mustard seed, then we should know indeed, their faith was very little. A lot of us are like the disciples. Our faith is hanging on a thread. And as soon as that thread breaks, our faith, we are gone. But I am here to encourage someone today to just believe. Jesus has entrusted us with the power to heal and to do more than he did in his name, in no other name, but in his name. However, that cannot be possible without outside of faith. All we need is faith as big as a mustard seed. Glory to Jesus. Sometimes we think we need the biggest of faith to cause a change, but the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Our faith may lack substance because we lack revelation of who Jesus is. By knowing who Jesus is, we become confident of the fact that he's the master healer and that we do not effect the healing, but he does. All we have to do is to say the word in the name of Jesus, and he will effect the change. Let's get to know Jesus and his word, and we'll be able to move mountains. Also, to acknowledge our own limitations when it comes to faith, as the man in Mark 9, 23 to 25. So we move to Mark 9, verse 23 to 25. So when you read from the verse 20, this was when a man whose son was suffering from convulsions came to Jesus. And then when you read from the verse 23, the Bible says, because the man said, if Jesus could, if he could do anything about their situation, then he should help them. So Jesus' response was, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. So Jesus was rather shocked. You've seen me doing miracles all around, and you've come here because you believe I could do something. So why say, if I can, when you know I can? It's no news. At the time, everyone knew that Jesus went about doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, and doing all kinds of miracles. So what do you mean by, if I can? I can. So ask me correctly, and I will do it. Just believe. And tell me, Jesus, I have brought my boy, heal him, and he will do it. So, let's read the man's answer together in verse 24. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. This tells us that even today, there are a lot of us here, myself included. We know we believe, but at the back of our mind, there's that tiny thought of unbelief. What if it doesn't go as planned? If only we can come to Jesus to help us overcome our unbelief, then he's able to do more than we can ever ask for. Bring it to Jesus now. Hallelujah. Again, in Mark 16, verse 14 to 20, it tells us, I don't know if we should read this. So this is a story after Jesus' resurrection. He commissioned the disciples to go into the world and proclaim the gospel. The verse 17 and 18 said something. Let's all read it together. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Hallelujah. Jesus is commissioning us even today to go into the world. And this is one of the places we've come to. This is one of the places we've come to. And he says that if only we believe, then signs will accompany us. And then in the name of Jesus, we will be able to cast out demons. We will be able to speak in new tongues and pick up serpents with our hands. And even if we drink deadly poison, it will not hurt us. It doesn't mean when you see a snake, just go and touch it, because the Bible says it won't hurt you. Yeah. But trust me, in life, we go through certain things that is even more worse than touching a snake or drinking deadly poison. There was a time my dad wasn't well, and he was given a medication, but he wasn't instructed correctly as to how to take them. And this medication, he was meant to take it once a day, but he was taking it, I think, 3 times a day. Yes. And so he began to feel there was something wrong. What is happening to my body? What am I going through? And if you know my dad, you will know that when he's doing something, he does it religiously. He kept on taking it. So, and the symptoms kept worsening. He went to a pharmacist he knew. They were both in Scripture Union together. And he went with the medication. He said, I was given this medication, and I have been taking it 3 times a day. But the kind of symptoms I'm having, I don't understand. And then the man, like, exclaimed, why? Why have you been taking 3 times a day? This is meant to be taken once. So why are you taking it 3 times a day? He said, I never knew. That was the instruction I was given. And trust me, you know these pharmacist assistants? Over here, I can't fault them. I can't fault them, even though they are not up to standard, I should say. Sometimes they can give you the medication and not give you any instructions at all because they believe you should know. Yes. And working in the health field back home in Ghana and here, I took it upon myself that whatever medication I'm giving to someone, I have to explain it to them so they know exactly what they are taking and how to take them. So, back to that question. Unfortunately, they didn't really do anything for my dad. He's already taking the medication. They didn't do anything for him. He wasn't invited over to see if they could give him something to reverse the symptoms. They did nothing. But he kept praying. He kept praying. And he said he would. Usually when he wake up in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, he would drink the blood of Jesus. He would cup his hand like that, as if he's poured something into his arm, and then he would drink it. I drink the blood of Jesus. I drink the blood of Jesus. And eventually, the symptoms left him. It didn't leave immediately. It took some time. So this tells us that some healing takes some time. Some can happen instantly. Just as we saw Jesus do. But some of them, it takes some time. There are others Jesus asked them to go and they will be healed. And they went and they got healed. So don't worry when it doesn't happen at the time you expected it was going to happen. It will eventually happen at the right time when God has planned for it to happen. That is when it's going to happen. Hallelujah. To bring my sermon to a close, just as Jesus sent out the 12 in Matthew 10, verse 5 to 8, it's the same way he's sending us today. And he's empowered us to heal, to cast out demons, and to do the impossible. But you've got to believe. You will be able to do the impossible, but you've got to believe. It will happen in the name of Jesus, and the glory will go to the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word this morning. We pray, O God, that you will empower us and cause a stir in our faith, and that signs will follow when we speak or pray in your name. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask for, may he watch over us. May he keep us even in the waiting period when we've prayed and nothing seems to be happening. May he keep us under his wings that we will be able to wait and have more faith whilst waiting until he comes through for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.